Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Nun Beis. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zechon Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today in the Mishnah on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph Borshel Shnei Shutfin. The Mishnah right in the middle of the Amud. We're in the middle of the fifth parak of Baba Kama. Daf Nun, actually in the bottom of Memtes Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah has turned its attention to the Nezek of Bor. So what we have been discussing yesterday, today, tomorrow, is the Nezek of Bor. So you dig a pit. So we already had a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva regarding whether the Torah's description of a pit was in the Rishus Yachid and the Rishus Harabim. Rabbi Kiva said Rishus Yachid. Rabbi Yishmael said Rishus Harabim. There was a machlokes that we saw together between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef regarding the parameters of the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We also went through a machlokes between Rabbi and Shmuel just yesterday regarding whether or not, what exactly is the cause of damage and death done by a Bor. Is it the hevel? Is it the lack of air that exists within a pit? Or is it the chavata? Is it the impact that you make with the ground as a result of the height and the gravity and the collision and the impact? So that's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel that we went through yesterday. And we're now continuing in the Mishnah today. And now, if we start with the Mishnah, Bor Shnol Shnei Shutzim. We're talking about a pit that's owned by two people. So Avar Alav Arishon V'lo Kisao V'Asheni V'lo Kisao Sheni Chayev. So the first one passes over the pit and he didn't cover it. And the second one passes over the pit and he didn't cover it as well. So the second one is going to be chayev. Okay. Now, in other words, the first one didn't cover it, so why shouldn't he be chayev as well? So stay tuned because we're going to be discussing these points. But before we discuss the smaller points or the details, the Gemara is going to be bothered by a really simple question. How can you have a pit being owned by two people? How is that? So Amri Bor Shol Shnei Shutzim Mechi Mishkachala Hanichis Verlak Rabbi Kiva Damar Bor Bishus Chayv Mishkachala Bechatzar Shol Shneihem. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it actually works out very well because we know that according to Rabbi Kiva, the bor that the Torah is describing is a Bor Shol Rishus Yachid. It's a pit owned by an individual on his property. And again, like we've said already a number of times, just to reiterate, we're talking about where he allows access for the public to go onto his property. But according to Rabbi Kiva, the whole concept of Bor is talking about Rishus Yachid on private property. So Bor Shol Shneim V'Yifkir Rishusim V'lo Yifkir Baran. So in terms of having partners over a pit, so according to Rabbi Kiva, it's very simple. The property is owned by two people, and the pit on the property is owned by the two people. And they allow people access onto the property, but the pit they still have retained ownership over. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, you can easily come onto a case of Bor Shel Shnei Shutfin. So Rabbi Kiva is fine. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Bor Berushos Harabim, so like Rabbi Shmuel, so how do you ever get onto a case where you have partners owning a pit? So you simply don't have that. You don't have a Bor Shel Shutfim. In other words, it's in the public. It's not owned by anybody. How can you have partners owning it? So the Gemara comes up with a very inventive and creative way. Well, maybe the following. Maybe two people are going to assign one shliach to go ahead and dig up a pit in Rishus Harabim. To which the Gemara says, ein shliach l'dvar avera. Well, that can't be. Meaning when the person digs up the pit, he's not acting on behalf of the people who sent him. This is an avera. Creating a pit in a Rishus Harabim is an avera. And we know the principle of ein shliach l'dvar avera. So the shlichus is simply not transferable. The action is going to solely rest on the person who dug up the pit, not on the people who sent him. And so therefore, this is not going to be a case of, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Bor Shol Shnei Shutfin.
Digging a pit in
the
avera or not covering
the avera? Right. Okay. Rashi over here doesn't specify. There is a Rashi coming.
The guy is just digging it. He's not digging
an avera. I hear. But Rashi on Nun Gimel, we're going to get to the Rashi in just a short couple of days. So Rashi later on is a little more specific that you're creating a hazard in the Rishus Harabim. So, and Rashi, in other words, you're right. There's no pasuk in the Torah that speaks out that it's an avera, but once you create nezek, so you're doing bad. Now the idikara high chamisha v'high chamisha nistakul u'maisarishon. So the Gemara says, now let's try to come up with a case where you can have two people associated with one pit. And we're talking about the Rishus HaRabim. So again, so ownership is not going to be the answer. Maybe, says the Gemara, you'll have the first person digging five tvachim, the second person digging another five tvachim. To which the Gemara immediately rejects that, and the Gemara says, come on. The second person who dug up the second five tvachim, he now created a pit that's ten tvachim deep. A pit that's ten tvachim deep is fundamentally different than a pit that's five tvachim deep. A ten tvach deep pit can be responsible for death. A five tefach deep pit can only be responsible for damage. So hanich l'Rebbe l'nezaken mishkachala. So the Gemara says, now, if you subscribe to the opinion of Rebbe, now you and we're just talking about vis-a-vis damages. So then we can get there. We can arrive at a scenario. Rebbe's of the opinion that if two people are responsible for digging a ditch. One just digs a little bit more into the ditch, so Rebbe's of the position that they're both going to be responsible. We're going to see Rebbe's opinion inside in just a moment. I mean, the Gemara didn't even introduce us to the opinion yet. But if you're Rebbe, and this is just talking about a discussion about Nezek, so the Gemara says, okay, we have it. We have a pit that's owned by two people. That's going to be that two people are going to be held liable for the pit. Ella the Rebbe Lamisa, but if we're talking about the first person dug five, the second person dug five, and the animal that fell and died, well, even according to Rebbe, the first person is not going to be liable because the first person only dug five tvachim, and that's not cause of death. Cause of death is only the next five that's dug up. So even Rebbe will tell you that you're not going to have dual liability. And Ula Rabbanan Beilam Misa Beilam Zaken Hechem Ishkachala. Now, if you subscribe to the Chacham's viewpoint, even if we're talking about Nezek, only the second person who dug is going to be held responsible for the digging. So now, according to the Chachamim, once again we're back to square one. How do we have a pit in a Rishus HaRabim that's going to have dual liability by two people? So I'm Rav Yochanan Kagon Shakushneim Chuya Bavas Achas Vishlam Lasara. So the Gemara says that the ditch was 10 tefachim deep, and then two people together took out that last tefach from the ditch. Under those circumstances, in Shabbos, we have a concept of Shnayim Shasuhu, two people doing an action, but we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about Nezek. Since the two people uncover that last tefach, that now makes this ditch 10 tefachim deep, therefore, according to the, even according to the Chachamim, you'll have a pit with dual liability. Okay, we touched on this topic of one person digging a ditch and then another person coming and digging more. And the Gemara, which will give me a second. And the Gemara raised that this is a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chacham. And the Gemara didn't introduce us to this machlokas. The Gemara is going to do so right now. My Rebbe and my Rabbanan. Did tell you the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Echad achofer bor tisha. I'm sorry. Echad achofer bor tisha. Uva achav yishlim ala asara. Ha'acharon chayev. So according to the Tanakhama, you had one person digging 9 tefachim. The second person digged the 10th tefach. That last person is going to be liable. Rebbe Omer Acher Acheron Lemisa VaAcher Shneim LeNizaken. So Rebbe says, if death occurs in the pit, so then the last person is responsible, of course. But if it's Nezek, they're both going to be responsible. My Tamid Rabbanan. So let's just go through now the drushas that apply to both. My Tamid Rabbanan. Damakrik Yiftach VeChiyichre Imal Psicha Chayv Alakriel Kol Shekain. The Torah, when describing the digging of a ditch in the Rishus Rabbim, the Torah says Ki Yiftach and Ki Yichre, and we went through this point already once before. Why would the Torah have to mention both uncovering a pit and digging a pit? Now, if you are liable for uncovering a pit, of course you're going to be liable for digging a pit. So, So it must be that the Torah is telling us that when you dig a pit, you become the liable party, even though it was already dug. Meaning, once you do an additional digging, you become now the sole responsible party for the pit. That is the Chachamim's understanding of the Pasuk. So Rebbe says, I wouldn't do that, meaning you just darshened the Pasuk, but we already explained earlier, back on Daf Nun, why it is that I need both the discussion, the situation of uncovering and the situation of digging. The Gemara explained it earlier. And the Gemara says, and you know what? The Chachamim, you agree with that point. Meaning you also think that the Torah has to express both. So, Ela Haina Taima Durabbanan Amakar Ki Yichre Ish Bor Echad Velo Shnayim. So, the Chachamim will tell you, you're right. But you know why it is that only one person's liable? Because when the Torah introduces us to the ditch digger, the Torah says Ish. One individual, meaning when you have somebody who digs a ditch, even though somebody else already dug it, but he digs more, that last person and only that last person is going to be liable.
Only Misa.
No, for Nezik as well. This is Shitas Chachamim. Even for Nezik. Now, the Rebbe, I will meet by Eleki Yechre Ishbor Velo Shorbor. Now, Rebbe will tell you, what do you mean? I already need that pasuk for another drasha. And that is, if your animal dug a pit, your liability for digging a pit is only when you dug a pit. But if your animal digs a pit, so you're not going to be liable, which we discussed already in the past as well. V'Rabbanan Shrei Ishbor Ksive. Now, the Chachamim will tell you, yes, that's true, but the Torah says the word Ish twice. So once for the drasha of, you'll be exempt if your animal digs a pit. And then a second for the drasha of only one person can be held liable for a pit. For Rabbi, I did the cost of high, cost of high. And Rabbi will tell you, well, no. In other words, really, there was only one drasha. And as far as the second ish mentioned in the pasuk, okay, Torah is only there for the purpose of symmetry. We don't see that often. Meaning by Mishnayos, we see all the time. The Mishnah writes it for symmetry purposes. We don't normally find that. You'll see a Tanner and a Mora say, the Torah just wrote that for symmetry purposes. Okay, you see it over here. Now the Gemara says, okay, now according to the Chachamim, only one person is going to be liable. Why the second? Why not the first? Meaning the first person already dug a ditch. Second person is just adding. And I know that the Torah is telling me only one of the two are going to be liable. So why number two? Why not number one? So lo zagadach damakra v'hamesi yalo. So the Gemara says, how would the kav and misa? How would the kav and misa? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why it's going to be number two. Because number one only dug it 9 tefachim deep. Or 5 tefachim deep. Meaning, he only dug a ditch that can create nezek. Once the second person digs the ditch deep enough where it can create misa, so now he is the sole liable party. To which the Gemara says, wait a second. The pasuk of Amesi Yalo that taught us another point. Amesi Yalo mi by leil chederava da marava shor psulei mukdashim shenafel abor potter shenamar Amesi Yalo b'misha ames shalo. Rava, I'm sorry. The Gemara tells us that Rava already uses that pasuk to teach us the following halacha. If let's say I have a carbon that had a blemish, and once it has a blemish, it is no longer fit to be brought in the mizbeach. It's what's called psulei hamukdashim. What do you do with such an animal? So you redeem it. And then you can take home the animal. But the only thing you can do with an animal of psulei hamukdashim is you can eat it. You can't do anything else with it. It at one point in time was fit to be brought onto the mizbeach. So even though now it's redeemable because of a blemish, but you can only eat it. And you cannot use it, you can make it not make other usages out of it. So when the Torah says v'hamesi elo, it means that the only animal that falls into your pit where you're going to be liable for is only an animal where after you paid for the damages, you could take it and use it for whatever you want. Since psulei hamukdashim you cannot, so therefore it's an exemption. And we learn that from the pasuk. So basically now, I already have a drasha for the words v'hamesi elo. So back to our question, according to the Chachamim, where only one person is going to be liable, how do I know it's the second, not the first? Amri, v'lav mimelo shamas mina, debahu, da'avin misa askinan. The Gemara says, you know what, you're right. We already have that pasuk dedicated. But at least we could see from the drasha that we're talking about who's the responsible party. Meaning you're right. The drasha is not there to teach us who the responsible party is. But by virtue of the fact that we're talking about a dead animal, so clearly we're talking about the one who created the pit deep enough to create the dead animal, meaning the second guy, not the first guy. So, okay. So, just the context to tell us that that's the second, not the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why isn't it that we don't like it as an act of kinyan, by the fact that it's like a shinoi, that the person who digs the last tefa is actually acquiring it by making a shinoi in the property?
Right. But again, though, it's the words of kinyanim over here are not applicable. We're talking about Rishus HaRabim. No one's acquiring the property. What you're doing is acquiring the liability. So, in terms of acquisition of liability, so it's a different discussion. It's like it's stranger in that regard. We're looking to seek who is the responsible party, but not who's the owner. Okay, what do we have so far? Mishnah that tells us that if I have two partners and the first one walked by and saw his pit and left it open, and the second one walked by and left it open, the second one's liable, the first one's not liable. Now, we have not yet even discussed why the first one's not liable. The first thing we have done so far in the Gemara is we just expressed how it's possible, even possible, to have a pit owned by two people. So, again, to just quickly summarize, according to Rabbi Akiva, the answer is very simple. Rabbi Kiva holds that a pit in the Rishus Yachid is liable. We're talking about a pit on a property that's owned by two people. What about if you're Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the pit that the Torah describes is a pit in the Rishus Rabim? How can I have two people owning a pit in the Rishus Rabim? I can't even have one person owning a pit in the Rishus Rabim. So essentially, after a number of tries, the Gemara gives an answer that maybe we're holding like Rav, not we're holding like. Rav Yochanan gives the answer where the pit was already 9 tefachim deep, and two people simultaneously remove the last tefach from the pit. That could be a case. The Gemara also considers maybe, if we're just talking about damages, and we subscribe to Rebbe's viewpoint, that I can have a person digging a ditch, a second person digging more, and not death, but just damages, so then according to Rebbe, we can have both people responsible.
So, like something happening, and so right. It can't be simultaneous. I mean, it has to be absolutely simultaneous. They both make it 10th.
Right. Right. I mean, could be. I mean, it's Rav Yochanan's answer. I mean, it could be the other Amoraim, you know, or could be the other Amoraim are bothered by the very concept of how can you ascribe one action to two people. Okay, so it could be, but that was Rav Yochanan's response. Tanu Rabbanan, Echad Achofer Bor Asaro Ba Acher Vishlim LeAchof Uva Acher Vishlim LeShloshim Kulan Chayavin. I have the first person dig a 10 tefachim deep, so that's it. Meaning that's a pit that can create everything, damage and death. And the second person comes along and makes it 20 tefachim deep. And the third person comes along and digs another 10, making it 30 tefachim deep. So each person incrementally made it worse. But the first one already did his maximum damage. First one already made it 10 tefachim deep. So each person is just making it worse. All of them are going to be sharing liability. Kulan chayavin. Now the question we're going to have to ask is, well, whose position is this reflecting? We now know it's a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim whether or not you can have dual liability for a pit. Rebbe says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Who's the author of the Braisa? Stay tuned. Urim minhu, the Gemara says, and I'm going to challenge you based on another Braisa. Echad achofer bor asaro ba'acher v'siyed v'kiyed achron chayav. First person dug a ditch, 10 tefachim deep. Along comes the second person, and basically doesn't add depth, but adds more enclosure. He plasters the walls, making the air even more stifling inside. And I don't know why, but he goes on to describe how he even carves art pictures in the plaster. I don't understand why that, whatever. Okay, but the second person makes it the air inside even more stifling. Now remember, Rav's opinion earlier is that it's not the impact that causes the damage and death, it's the air, it's the hevel. So, chai. So, lema ha rebi ha rabbanan. Now, in the second braisa, only the first person's liable and not the second person. Let me say that better and more correctly. In the second braisa, only the second person is liable, not the first person. Okay. Now, lema harebi harabana. Now, when presented these two braisas, so in the first braisa, we talked about shared liability. In the second braisa, we're talking about only putting liability on the second, not on the first. And so it sounds like the easiest way to explain all this is that the first braisa is a chachamim, where it's only one person that can be held responsible. No. The first braisa is going like Rebbe, where shared liability, all of them are going to be held responsible. And the second braisa is going like the chachamim. Okay. That seems to be the easiest way to explain it, and the Gemara is going to be fancy. Amar of Zvid, Hava Ha Rabbanan. Now we can have all the braces going like the Chachamim Adkan lo kamer Rabban Achron Chayv Alayechad lo Avikam v'Shir Misa. Previously, we said the Chachamim said that you can only hold one person liable. Yeah, because previously the first person dug 5 and the second person dug another 5. See, the second person did something that the first person did not do: create a pit deep enough that can create death. Here, in the first braisa, the first person went 10 tefachim deep. That's it. Maximum damage can occur with 10 tefachim. So then, maybe the Chachamim in that scenario would say, yeah, the first person liable. Second person dug another 10 tefachim, well, you can't excuse him, meaning he also made the impact even worse. But we're also going to include the first person because the first person did maximum damage of 10 tefachim. Avahecha da'avad kama shir misa v'afilu, I'm sorry, shir misa. Avahecha da'avad kama shir misa afilu rabbanan moda dekulin chayavin. Okay. Now v'hasayid v'kaya deka'avad kama shir misa v'ketani achron chayav. So the Gemara says, okay, let's move on to second braisa. In this approach, the second braisa is not going to work out. The first person dug a ditch 10 tefachim deep. The second person plastered the walls, making the air even more stifling. Why are we excusing the first person? He went maximum damage by digging a 10 tefachim deep. So in this approach, in the second brisa, shouldn't we hold both of them liable? So when they heard this in the yeshiva, so they thought and they gave the following answer. One suggestion could be that when the first person dug the ditch, yes, it's true, he went 10 tefachim deep, but he made it airy enough, so that the hevel there is not enough to create death. Now, mind you, that this answer of the Gemara only works for Rav, it's not going to work for Shmuel. Now, the Gemara does not note this, and it's good that we're noting it, but it certainly seems like this answer only will work within the opinion of Rav. Igadam Ramar Zvid Havaha Rebbe. Now, another approach to that to this is as follows. Both prices are reflecting the opinion of Rebbe. Now, Rebbe does have the basic construct of shared liability. And the Gemara says, Havaha Rebbe, Hak the Tani Kulan Chayav Mishapir. Now the first Brisa, we don't even have to tinker with. Meaning, good. First Brisa subscribes to Rebbe. Rebbe holds of shared liability. We can move on. V'hadik Tani Acharon Chayav, but in the second Brisa, where the first person dug the ditch, ten tefachim deep. And the second person built in walls into the ditch, making the area even more stifling. And we said in the second Brisa, the second one's liable, the first one's not liable. Why? Shalah Hayabo Hevel, Lola Misa Velo Nizakin, and essentially the Gemara is going to give the same approach, because when the first person dug the ditch, but he left a lot of air in the ditch, it was a wide ditch, and so therefore it should not have been any damage, not for death, not even for damages. We discussed yesterday this idea of hevel can create damage as well. Hard for me to explain, but the Gemara said it yesterday. And then what the second person did by adding the pitch onto the side of the wall is that he created that hevel in the ditch that was responsible for everything. And that we can explain the second price, even according to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, let's say the ditch is 9 tefachim deep. And I don't dig any more into the ditch, but I make a ledge around the ditch, so that now, from the top to the bottom, is now going to be 10 tefachim. So basically, I was a contributing factor. So who are we going to hold liable, the second guy or both? And the Gemara says, good. And you know what that is? That's exactly what we've been discussing earlier this morning. Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Pshita, and the Gemara says, that sounds pretty obvious. Meaning, what did you just add to the entire discussion? Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's a Chiddush. Because you might have thought, in the scenario where we went 9 tefachim deep and I go into the pit and I created the 10th tefach in the pit, I've actually changed the hevel in the pit. I've added new hevel in the pit. But if the pit was 9 tefachim and all I did was create a rim around the edge of the pit, so the truth of the matter is that I didn't change the bottom hevel of the pit. All I did was added height, but I didn't add depth. And so the Gemara says, Ahava mina. I might have thought that those cases would be different. Kamash Mulan. By Rava, Tas Tefach Vesilek Avanav Mahu. Again, we're talking about where one person dug a pit 9 tefachim deep, and another person. Another person went another Tefachin, meaning made it 10, and then what that second person did was seal in the 10th tefach, bringing it back to 9. So basically, what the second person would like to argue is, yes, I did dig another tefach. Yes, I converted the pit from a 9 to a 10 tefach deep pit. But then, I brought it back, I didn't fill in the pit, but I undid what I did. Meaning, I filled in that last tefach. So now, mahu. Gemara's question over here, really, really smart question. Do we say that once a second person dug that last tefach, that pit now is his? And whatever he does from that point and forward doesn't matter. Even though he reverted back to the original, not original meaning totally filled in, but brought it back to only what the first guy did, but that's it. Once you make it 10 tefachim, you have, I'm going to use the word ownership, but I don't mean it super literally. You have ownership of that pit, meaning that pit is yours, meaning you're going to be held liable. And so therefore, what you do from that point going forward is still going to be yours. Or, on the other hand, you can argue no. Meaning, I came in, the pit was 9 tefachim deep. Yes, I manipulated. Yes, I tinkered. But when I walked away, it was the same pit that was when I was going in. And therefore, I should not be held liable. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Shmuel Bar Marta Bor Shmona Mehen Shnei Tefachim Mayim Chayv Maitama Kol Tefach Demai Ketrei Diavash Adami. Gemara over here has an interesting conversion table where that when you have water on the bottom of the pit. Now, again, if you left it up to me, I would have told you that water would have softened the impact. And the Gemara does not say that. The Gemara is of the opinion that a tefach of water is equivalent to 2 tefachim of airspace in which it's going to fall. And so, again, I struggle a little bit to explain this because I don't understand it. But I understand the Gemara's assumptions. So just I'm going to explain the Gemara according to its assumptions. So when I have water on the bottom, so 2 tefachim of water, and again the conversion table of the Gemara is that every tefach of water is equivalent to 2 tefachim of air. So now I have a pit that's 8 tefachim deep with 2 tefachim of water. So then that's going to be enough to create death. Kol tefach demai ketrei diabash adami. So.
One tefach of water is enough.
One tefach of water is going to be enough.
You make it
10. Yeah. Right. Okay. Fine. It's a fair question. So ibayilu bor tisha umehen tefach echad mayim mahu. So the Gemara says now we're just going to fiddle around a little bit with the numbers. Let's say the pit is 9 tefachim deep, but it's 1 tefach of water on the bottom. So basically the Gemara wants to know was the requirement of 2 tefachim of water specific? And if it's only 1 tefach of water with 9 tefachim of depth plus another tefach of water, maybe that is enough to create death. Or the Gemara asks the other way. Let's say the pit was 7 tefachim deep but with 3 tefachim of water. Now here, again, according to our conversion table, 3 tefachim of water now will give us another 3 tefachim down from there, from that point in time. So therefore, it should be 7 plus another 3, which equals 10. On the other hand, the pit's only 7 tefachim deep. So maybe, basically what the Gemara is asking is, this 8 plus 2, meaning 8 tefachim of depth, plus 2 tefachim of water, where the water now counts as, it creates a more hevel, more asphyxiation, so that you can go 2 tefachim deeper than the 8 tefachim. Is that specific in numbers? Or is there any way we could play around with the numbers? The Gemara Teku leaves his questions unresolved. What if I widen the pit? And again, the Gemara is still working with that assumption like Rav. It's funny, the Gemara has these discussions and like doesn't reintroduce Rav and Shmuel into these discussions. A little bit unclear to me why the Gemara doesn't do that. But let's say the pit is deep, but you widen it. So therefore, you allow for air. And again, the Gemara's assumption is that Hevel is what's causing all that damage. So Amar Lei Hare Miud Havala. So Amar Lei Adraba Hare Kiva Zeka. So here, on one hand, you created more air. On the other hand, you also broadened the pit. So basically, more of a chance for someone to fall in. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Ravashi Nechzi Anani Behevla Mayas Hare Miud Havala Ibechavata Mayas Hare Kiva Zeka. So the Gemara says, now we're going to be forensic experts. Yesterday, we refused to be forensic experts. Today, we're going to be forensic experts. If the animal died as a result of Hevel, so then if you widen the pit, so you've removed Hevel. If the animal died because of impact, so if you widen the pit, you've created more room for impact. So here, the forensic evidence is going to be a little bit easier. If the animal fall into the area where you widened it, so then you're going to be responsible. If the animal fell in from the other side where you didn't widen it, so then you're not going to be held responsible. Itmar, bar she'umka berachva. Let's say you have a pit, she'umka kerachva. It's as wide as it is deep. Rabba v'Rav Yosef Dami Tavai Mishmei the Rabba Baba Bachana Dami Mishmei the Rebbe Mani. So the Gemara here quotes two opinions. Amar Chan Amar La'olam Yesh Bahevel Ache Rachva Yeser Alamka V'Chan Amar La'olam In Bahevel Ache Omka Yoser Arachva. So the debate over here is basically, when is it that there's no longer going to be Hevel? So one opinion is that it will continue to have Hevel until the width is greater than the depth. And the other opinion is that it will not have Hevel until the width, the height is greater than the width. Okay. So two opinions on this matter. Meaning, according to the first opinion, it will not be exhausted of its hevel until it has to be wider than it is height, wider than it is high. According to the second opinion, even if it's if it is,
they're saying the same thing just backwards.
Yeah.
In bahevel ad shehe omko. Oh, so what if it's equal? I think the difference between these two languages is, what if it's going to be equal? Meaning, what if height equals width? So if height equals width, so, right, if you're saying in the positive, so that means that it has to be greater. If you're saying in the negative, so that means that it has to be smaller. Okay. Avad Allah.
Well, we learned about Khalid's. There
were
different kinds of.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Ditch.
Agreed. Agreed. These are. Okay. I don't know if we're looking at it from a. In other words, when we say width, does it mean width in two dimensions or width even in one dimension? You're right. From the chritz, it's really long.
Right.
Agreed. Okay. Itmar borsha omka karachva. We just did that. Avar alav harishon velo kisau. Okay. Finally, we get to the point of the Mishnah. I mean, that was a lot of discussion in the Gemara regarding Hevel and width and how you can have a pit owned by two people. But now we get really to the simplest question we could have asked on the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to finally discuss it, and that is, what? The first person walked right by two partners to a ditch. First person walked right by, noticed it was open. Okay, fine. Second person walks by, noticed it was open. Okay, he's liable. First guy also noticed. So, Rishon Me'emas Mifter. So, the Gemara says like this. Basically, what you have to say in the Mishnah is that the first person didn't just walk by and, like, have no communication with the second guy. There must have been some sort of handoff between the first guy and the second guy. Okay. And like all good partnerships, meaning it's going to work based on communication. And basically, the first person is going to have to say to the second person, okay, I'm done. Okay, now it's your responsibility. Okay?
Maybe if Nezek occurs after the first person, then you
can
be responsible.
Well, again, the Gemara is going to be very clear now. The Gemara is going to be very clear in terms of when the first person is basically handing off to the second person and relinquishing his responsibility. So the Gemara is going to say like this: Varisha Neimas Mifter, Rabba Rav Yosef Darmi Tavai Mishmei the Rabba Bar Chana Darmi Mishmei the Rabbi Mani Chad Amar. So once again, same exact format as we had earlier in terms of who said the halacha and two versions of what was said. Mishem Minicha Mishtamish VeChad Amar Mishiyim Solo Dal Yom. So the first opinion, Mishem Minicha Mishtamish, goes like this.
The second one was there.
Right. The first person was there. The first person was using the pit, and he now walks away. The second person relieving him, meaning, but there was no actual transference of any item. And we'll speak specifically about what item we're talking about. But basically, the first person now leaves the second person. The second person is using the pit. But nothing, in other words, there's nothing physically handed from one to two. It just happens to be that one leaves two now using the pit. And the second opinion is that no. In order for the first person to abdicate his responsibility, he must actually hand the lid of the pit over to the second guy. Then and only then is the first person going to legally no longer be responsible. And the Gemara says, Kitanai. And the Gemara says that this machlok is actually reflected in the Braisa. Hamad l'mayim menabor. You're drawing water from the pit. Ubacha ver v'amar lo hanach li v'ani ad l'mayim. And the second person says, first person, you're good. Meaning, I'll take it from here. And kevin shenich mishtamish pater. So once the second person says to the first person, okay, good, I'll use it now. So now the first person is going to be pater, and he's not going to be held liable for any damages. Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov omer mishim solo dayo. And Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov says no, that the first person is only going to be legally exempt when he hands over the lid to the second person. So there has to be a physical handing over of the lid in order to relieve himself of liability. Now, so good. So these two opinions on the Amoraim are reflected amongst the Tanaim. And now what's left for us to figure out, what are they arguing about? So Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says that we are now going to enter into the world of Breira. And when we enter into the world of Breira, so first take a deep breath. Okay, now, what do we say? That when it comes to Breira, Hover HaDavar LaMafreya, that basically we can take something that is partnered by two people, and we can pinpoint at what point this belongs to him and this belongs to him, and we can even go back retroactively and say, oh, this was yours and this was yours. Even though it was a partnership, and even though that partnership, sometimes it's confusing who gets which part. But once you subscribe to Breira, so we can say with clarity and even retroactively, well, this belonged to you and this belonged to you. So Haimi didei kamamale v'haimi didei kamamale. So Rav Lazman Yaakov says, now we can say it with clarity. Once we subscribe to Breira. And so therefore, according to Rav Lazman ben Yaakov, he was the one who says, ad sheyimshter lo dalyo, meaning you're handing over the lid. Right. When you subscribe to Breira, so now we know with pinpoint accuracy what, at what point it belonged to him and at what point it belonged to him, even in a partnership. But we can only say it with accuracy once you hand over the lid, meaning the handing over the lid allows us to now say, yes, you own that and you own that. And according to the Chachamim, there's no Breira. So that means that according to the Chachamim, when you have a partnership over an item, like in this case the pit, when you have a partnership over an item, there's never a point in time where it's going to say, oh, this was all yours. Oh, this was all yours. It always belongs to the two of you. And here, it's an interesting result. Because it always belongs to the two of you, so therefore, when I'm using it, and I'm a partner, what am I doing with your share? It's interesting. What am I doing with your share? I'm borrowing your share. Meaning, because we're partners, I'm going to be allowing you to use my shares at times, and you're going to be allowing me to use your shares at times. But when I'm using your shares, I'm effectively borrowing it. And the same thing is true when you're using it, you're borrowing my shares. Okay, if we don't subscribe to Breira. So at that point in time, then you understand the Chachamim's viewpoint, which is basically, yeah, I'm here. Okay, good, I'm leaving. Okay, great. Because we're never going to be able to know with certainty, because we don't subscribe to Breira, that this was your time and this was my time. We're always sharing and we're always borrowing. So therefore, when I walk away, so basically that's like me now, I'm not relinquishing anything. I'm simply now saying my usage time is over. It's now your usage time. And therefore you don't need to hand over the lid. Amar Avinu Vazal Tamayu did not, and the Gemara points out we have another area in Halacha where you're going to see this Breira, the Breira concept show up. Hashutshim Shenadru Hanazemizeh. So the partnership went sour, and they really had it with each other, and they made a neder; they're not going to get benefit from one another. Okay, it's just me predicting the future. The partnership is not going to last. But okay, but again, that's neither here nor there. So right now they're in a partnership and they swore they're not going to get hana from each other. So now they can't go into a partnered property, because when I'm walking in, I'm getting benefit from you. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Zenechnas l'soch shalov, zenechnas l'soch shalov." And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, "What do you mean? I'm going to walk on my side of the property. I'm not walking on his. It's my side of the property." Now, again, how do you understand this machlokus? Based on what we said, you understand it perfectly. According to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, once you subscribe to Breira, so when it's a partnership, it's true we both own it, but it's also true that we can identify that part is mine and that part's yours, because we subscribe to Breira. But once you don't subscribe to Breira, once you don't subscribe to Breira, it's never this part's mine, that part's yours. It's always ours. neders. And once we made a neder, I'm not going to get benefit from each other. So that's it. I can't go into it because it's ours, meaning all of it is part yours. And since all of it's part yours, I can't go in. You're selling a pizza to somebody. Okay, so the transaction of real estate, something we discussed in the first paragraph of Kedushin, to which the Gemara says, you hand over the lid of the pit, and that affects the kinyan. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hechidami. Ibe kasba, likne be kasba. What do you mean? We're talking about a pit, which is property. Kesef. Ibe chazaka, likne be chazaka. Or a proprietary act to show that you are the owner. Fine. But handing over a lid, what is that? It's not kesef, and it's not a proprietary act. To which the Gemara suggests, well, it really, what you're going to do to own it is a chazaka. You're going to do a proprietary act, but in order for a proprietary act to work, you just can't simply walk onto somebody's property and say, hey, I'm going to do now a proprietary act, and I'm going to be the owner. Of course not. What you need is the other party, the previous owner, to say to you, I'm prepared to sell it to you, and I'm now, he has to verbalize, you're going to do a proprietary act in which you're going to become the owner. When you hand over the lid, that is effectively the same as saying, do a proprietary act, and therefore you're going to become the owner. I'm Rav Yishua Malevi, and we're going to do this halacha again two more times. Hamoch lechavero, kevan, sorry, I skipped an important word. Hamocher bias lechavero. We're on the very top of Nun Beis Amad Aleph, selling a house to your friend. So you hand over the keys, and that creates the acquisition. Okay, in our, right, if we can easily visualize the buying and selling of a house, I know it's the closing, which creates the transaction. But in other words, when you hand over the keys, it's like, oh, now I'm the owner. I got the keys. And the Gemara says, effectively that. You hand over the keys, and now you're the owner. But again, we know better. That's not true. So, hechidami. I bekaspa likne bekaspa. I bechazaka likne bechazaka. So the Gemara says again, what's the kinyan? Is it kasif? Is it chazaka? Handing over the keys is neither. And again, the same thing that we said previously. He's gonna acquire through a proprietary act. Build a fence, whatever, a proprietary act. But again, the previous owner has to say to him, you're gonna do a proprietary act and you're gonna acquire it. By handing over the keys, it's tantamount to saying that. One more halacha. I'm Rish Lakish Mishum Raviana Amocha Eder Lechavero. I'm going to purchase a flock of sheep from my friend. Kevin Shamasalo Mashkuchi Kana. Once I acquire the thing that draws all the sheep, so then I have acquired the flock. And Hechi Dami. And again, after having learned Kedushin, we all know, well, that's not enough. You want to talk about Mashiach. You want to talk about Mesira. Those are the ways to acquire animals. Not handing over the Mashkuchis, and we don't even know yet what that is. We're going to know in just a moment. So, La'olam Mashiach. So the Gemara says, really, you're going to acquire the sheep through Mashiach. So again, there has to be a verbalization from the seller to the buyer, and that is, you're going to do Mashiach and you're going to acquire through Mashiach. By handing over the Mashkuchis, it's tantamount to saying that. Kevin the Masala Mashkuchis, command Amar Lech Mashiach Vikini Dami. My Mashkuchis. Okay, now we can ask the question. What is the thing that draws the sheep? That leads the sheep? Hacha Targima Karkashta. So over here in Bavel, the way we interpret it is it's a bell. Okay, and the sheep were trained like Pavlovian dogs. Pavlovian sheep, where they know that once you ring the bell, they're all going to come. And Rav Yaakov Omer Iza de Azla Beresh Edra. And Rav Yaakov says they were talking about the goat, meaning that there was a male goat, leader of the pack, leader of the flock, and wherever the goat went, the sheep all followed. Okay, and that's the Karkashta. That's how they translate Eretz Yisrael. Kidedarish Ahu Galia Aleha de Rav Chista. Now, a Galilean explained in the name of Rav Chista the following. Kad Ragiz Raya Al-Ana Avid Lanagda Samusa. When the shepherd is so angry with his flock, what he's going to do is he's going to put up a a blind leader, that leads the flock. Rashi points out over here, this is a mashal. Take a look at Rashi. Very relevant for our time, but that's all I'm going to say. So, what the shepherd does is that the shepherd takes the lead goat, blinds the lead goat. The lead goat now is going to fall into the pit, and of course, all the sheep are going to follow. So, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry with its Jewish people, so it's going to, Kadosh Baruch Hu will put up a leader who is blind, and the people are just going to find the blind leader. All right, let's continue. Yes?
The korban for a leader is actually a goat.
Yes, yes. Right there, this, right, very good. Very good, right, in Perek Dalet, in Vayikra. Right? Okay. Kisahu harishan uva hasheni umatzim megula. We start now the next Mishnah. Let's assume in this Mishnah that we're still talking about a boar that's owned by two partners. Okay, and like we just had over the course of the entirety of today. Kisahu harishan uva hasheni umatzim megula. So the first one covered the pit. And the second one comes, second owner of the pit comes and finds the pit uncovered. Now, obviously, I feel like this is like the fridge door in the house, or at least I'm obviously describing my house, where it's open and, you know, I start questioning everybody and everyone seems to have closed the fridge. And no one's ready to take responsibility for the fact that the fridge door is open. Okay, so magically it opened up. So over here in the Mishnah, so great, so now I have a defense of my family. So over here in the Mishnah, so magically the pit is open, even though the first person covered the pit. Okay. Obviously, the Gemara is going to be bothered by this, and the Gemara is going to wonder, well, how did this happen? Anyway, well, the second person had an opportunity to cover the pit, and he didn't cover the pit, so therefore the second person is going to be liable. Now, what's clear from the Mishnah, and Rashi makes this point, is that if the first person to walk by the pit, that, again, two partners over this pit. If the first person walked by the pit, and he noticed that it was exposed, and he didn't do anything about it, so obviously he too is going to have to share the liability because he also noticed the same thing as well. Okay. If let's say there was a cover on the pit and it was a good cover and it should have protected anyone walking over so that they don't fall in. And then, lo and behold, animal walked over and fell in. So then the owner of the pit is going to be pater because he covered it. And he covered it with what should have been covered. And again, we're going to ask the obvious question, well, if he covered it well, then how did the animal fall in? And please stay tuned, we're going to discuss. Loki so karoy v'nafal so choshor chamoro meis chayev. Now, if the pit was not covered properly, and then an animal falls in, you're going to be liable, you're going to be held liable. Meaning that what you put on simply could not withstand the weight of anything. And you didn't do a good job, and therefore you're going to be chayev. And that point is obvious, and again, the Gemara later on is going to wonder, it's such an obvious point, why did the Mishnah even need to make it? Nafal afanav mikol hakriya chayev. La'achorav mikol hakriya pater. The way Rashi describes it is as follows. This case is a strange case, where basically, you have already a pit existing in the ground, and the pit owner hires a worker who's in the pit, now banging away at the pit. We're going to learn later in this perek that, generally speaking, even if an animal falls in the pit, but it was in broad daylight, so we're going to debate later in the perek whether or not the pit owner could say to the owner of the animal, "Your pit really should have looked where it's walking." Like, in other words, I understand there was a pit there, but it was broad daylight. Like, come on. We're going to discuss that later on. But in the meantime, right now, there was a pit. There was a guy working in the pit. And he's banging. So if the animal falls in backwards, so then chayiv. Then they're going to be liable. Because basically the animal was scared, and as a result of the guy working on the bottom, and so therefore the owner of the pit is going to be chayiv. However, la'acharav mikol kriya pater. But if he falls in backwards, so that was a total mishap. We'll fall that under the category of onus, and therefore going to be pater. Animal falls into the pit together with, so let's say if it was an oxen with its plow, or if it was a donkey with its saddle, So damage was done to the oxen and to the plow and saddle. So you're going to be liable for the animal, but not for the kalim. It's a rule that we've said already a number of times, but we're going to say it again. And that is that for the ditch digger, for the owner of the pit, he's only liable for shor v'chamor, and not for adam v'kelim. Now for l'socha shor cheresot v'katan, chayev. If an ox that was deaf or insane or a minor falls in, you're going to be held liable. Ben obas, eved o ama pater. If a child falls into the pit, or an Ever and Amma falls into the pit, you're going to be pater, because again, just exerits a kusuv, that the only liability for the pit is only for shur v'chamor. Not for kalim, not for adam. Okay. V'rishon ad emas miftar. Okay, we go back to the first case in the Mishnah, and for the rest of today, we're going to be discussing the first case in the Mishnah. In the first case in the Mishnah, you had a pit owned by two people. The first person covered it properly and appropriately, and then, magically, the pit got uncovered. Now, of course, it's not magical. And I mean, we're learning Gemara together. So it's not magical. We'll explain in a moment why it is that the pit was uncovered. But then the pit was uncovered, and the Mishnah says that the second person is going to be held liable. And the Gemara is basically saying it can't be that the first person at no point in time is going to... He is a partner in that pit. He's going to eventually have to also assume liability. So basically Gemara is wondering, when does that point come? V'rishon ad emas miftar, am rab b'chdei sheyeda. So Rab's position is until he finds out. Meaning that the first person covered it, so he's good. Second person comes along and discovers it to be uncovered. When the first person actually gets it back to the pit himself and sees with his own eyes that the pit's uncovered, then he also will share the liability. Shmuel Amar Bichdei Sheyodi Uhu. Shmuel says, no. The first person will become liable once again when somebody informs him that the pit is uncovered. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'll bring this up quickly. Rashi over here brings up Pshat, which he ends up not liking. But that in explanation of Shmuel, Shmuel's position is that even after the first person sees with his own eyes that the pit is uncovered, he's still not going to be held liable until somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, it's uncovered. Now, right. See, generally speaking, seeing is believing. And okay, it's a pshat that Rashi quotes. I'll say it. I said it. Rashi himself doesn't like it. Anyway, the preferred pshat of Rashi in Shmuel is that once somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, "Hey, you know what? I know you covered the pit, but it's now uncovered." He too, the first person, is going to be liable. And finally, Rav Yochanan Amar Bichdeshi Yodiuhu V'yiska Poalim V'yichros Arazim V'yichasenu. And finally, the third opinion of the Gemara is Rav Yochanan, and that is, it's a reference of time. It's a function of time. Meaning that it's not until he sees it himself, it's not until somebody taps him on the shoulder, but basically, it's going to be the amount of time somebody can come along, build a cover, and in order to put it on top of the pit. That's the time frame in which he is going to be held liable. But it's not a function of knowledge. Function of time. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the two dots. Let's just quickly recap. We discussed today, we did a lot today, but we're still behind. But we discussed today the board that's owned by two pit. Question number one, how can you have a pit owned by two people in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? It's simply impossible. So we had Rav Yochanan's suggestion, which is the two people took out the last tefach of earth. Or the Gemara says that maybe we could be talking about two people responsible for digging a ditch and share liability for damages, but that only works within the Shita of Rebbe. And oh, by the way, a debate amongst the Tanayim, can you have a pit dug by two different people at two different times? Can you have shared liability? Rebbe says yes, the Chachamim say no, and that's a basic machlokas. The Gemara had a number of specific questions regarding these dual liability of two different ditch diggers. And then the Gemara concluded the entire discussion, the entire sugya of how to sell a ditch. the handing over of the lid, how to sell a house, the handing over the keys, how to sell a flock of sheep, the handing over the karkashta. And then we started the next Mishnah today, and the next Mishnah opens up with two people owning a pit. The first one covered it properly. Magically it got uncovered. Tomorrow we'll discuss the magic of how it got uncovered. And then the second person notices it, the second partner notices it's uncovered. So the second person's liable, not the first person. At what point is the first person going to be held responsible? Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, three opinions in the Gemara. And tomorrow we're going to be discussing more of the first case of the Mishnah.